I'm so grateful that I'm your child. And I'm so grateful to call you Father. Holy Spirit, thank you that to you we surrender all, as we allow you to be our guide and to move amongst us today in the fullness of your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, I'm really grateful to my mom, because she never ever counted to three before beating me up with a wooden spoon and a leather belt. Right? So now I don't have to spend money on expensive psychiatry to overcome an overwhelming fear of the number three. You know, you really do come from a loving home and a loving family when you go to your mom in all seriousness and say, "Mom, am I adopted?" And her answer is, "Not yet." But I've placed an ad in the newspaper or Facebook marketplace. Yeah. Sometimes we wish we could do that. How many enjoy it when people say to us, "You look and behave just like your father"? You know, that question is especially true if you had previously decided not to do what they did. Well, in my case, I found out that my handwriting was so similar to my mom's that sometimes you can't tell the two apart.
Wow. No good to teachers.
And Shirley says that when I'm irritated, I pull my mouth just like my mom used to. I don't know about you, but have you noticed that in families, that where there is alcoholism or any other chemical dependency suffered by one of the parents, it's often repeated in the children? Yeah. Have you noticed that? Yeah. All right. Or how often do we see that when the husband is an abuser of his wife, the grown-up children treat their partners the same way? Now, by saying all this, I'm not trying to excuse what they do. I'm simply pointing out how often it happens. But of course, there's also positive behavior that is replicated. My grandfather was creative and loved woodworking. His son was extremely creative. He used to paint, he used to work with metalwork, he used to do cabinet making. And I've always loved working with wood. Shirley is musical. Right? Our daughter and grandchildren are very musical. They play musical instruments and they both sing. Alistair has a very creative side, especially when it comes to designing and manufacturing knives. So if you're looking for some, right, talk to him. But the one thing I know is creativity is present across all the generations in our family. And so today, our Mission Impossible Made Possible subject looks at how we can break the power of our past. And what I want to do is I'm going to try and identify some of the problem areas in our lives. And I'm also going to provide some solutions for us to think about and apply. And there'll be more answers next week. So the problem is that Scripture and life teach us that there is an intricate, complex relationship between the kind of person we are today and our past. And we see this in the repeating behavior patterns that occur within generation, from generation to generation within a family. Perhaps you've heard the term generational curses. This is what we're referring to. Now, the one thing I know is my grandparents were excessively strict and harsh with my mom. Not the rest of the kids, but especially with my mom. And she was very hard and very strict with us, her children. Today, they would call this physical and emotional abuse. Those days, it was just, they're my kids. As Shirley and my children were growing up, she would sometimes remind me that I was behaving just like my mom did. Especially when it came to disciplining our children. And yet, even before we were married, in talking about discipline, I had stated publicly, clearly, often, I choose not to be like my mother. And sometimes I still behaved like her. Paul shares this truth in Romans chapter 7, verse 19. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Because we see ourselves as individuals acting alone these days. But the Bible says that each person is part of a family system going back generations, and the behavior that occurs in the past is most likely to be repeated in our lives today. So if the Bible says that, let's go see where it says it. One example is found in the book of Genesis, where Abraham, his son Isaac, and grandson Jacob all show a similar pattern of brokenness. The record of this family illustrates how sins and blessings are passed from generation to generation. Because as we look at the family, we see how the blessings given to Abraham because of his obedience is passed on to his son Isaac, and then again to his grandson Jacob, and the great-grandchildren Joseph and his brothers. But we also see the brokenness and sinfulness being passed down. And some of these are, we see that there's a pattern of lying within the family. And that's not laying down on the couch. Right? For example, Abraham lied twice about Sarah. Isaac and Rebekah's marriage was characterized by lies. Jacob lied to almost everyone because his name means the deceiver. 10 of Jacob's children lied about Joseph's death. They even held a funeral and kept a family secret for over 10 years. A pattern of lying. We also see that there's a pattern of family breakdown where brothers are isolated from one another because maybe they disagreed with each other and then they refused to talk to each other. Remember, Isaac and Ishmael were separated where Hagar and Ishmael were chased away. So Isaac and Ishmael never spoke to each other. Jacob ran away from his brother Esau. And they didn't speak or see each other for over 10 years. Joseph was isolated from his 10 brothers because they sold him into slavery. And that lasted for over 10 years. And in the same family, we see a pattern of poor intimacy in their marriage life, where Abraham had a child with Hagar, and Hagar was definitely not his wife. Isaac had a terrible relationship with Rebekah. Jacob had two wives and two concubines, a concubine being a mistress, or as we know it today, a common law wife. So that's one example that we see in Scripture where we see blessings and we see sinfulness and brokenness passed down the generations. But there's another one. King David is referred to a man after God's own heart. He passed on enormous blessings to his son Solomon. But unfortunately, at the same time, he left a legacy of sin and brokenness for the generations to come. For example, we see that there was spiritual and moral compromise in his life. Remember, David tried to cover up his adultery with Bathsheba by murdering her husband. Solomon mixed up worship with the God of Israel with all the other gods in the area. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, rejects the wise counsel of the elders and follows the gods of the surrounding nations. We also see sexual sin being passed down the generations, because it starts off where David had many wives. His son Amnon rapes Tamar. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Whoa. I really hope he had a mother-in-law like mine, because she's the best. And Rehoboam had 18 wives and 60 concubines. Or as somebody over there said earlier, porcupines. Yes. There's also a pattern of unresolved family conflict that takes place, where we see David having a poor relationship with his seven older brothers. Solomon's half-brother Absalom, who was so upset with what Amnon had done, he killed his brother. And then he goes and tries to kill David, his father. And Rehoboam, who disagreed with his brother and divided Israel in two. Wow. Did you realize that reading through the scriptures, reading through the Old Testament, we find more plots and more sexual escapades and more family sagas than you can ever find in the TV series that we watch today? But you know, God allows these real family experiences to be told so we can learn from them and then take a deep, hard look at ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6 says, these things are examples, they are warnings or admonitions for us not to want or crave or desire or lust after evil or carnal things as they did. In other words, what happened in the past. Because until we understand the power our past has on how we behave today, we will keep on repeating the negative behavior patterns of our parents and grandparents in our own family through the generations. And the Bible teaches us that there are consequences for those actions and decisions that are taken in one generation that impact the generations who follow. In Exodus chapter 20, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And as I was looking to see what that word punishing meant, I found that there was a Hebrew scholar who said the correct translation, or the more correct translation of punishing used in the NIV, should be tends to be repeated. And so whether it be alcoholism or rage or addictions or depression or suicide or adultery or divorce or unwed pregnancies or mistrust of authority or unresolved conflict, this is repeated down the generations. The problem is that our past holds power over our present unless we take decisive and definite action to break this powerful hold. And the way we do that is we create a new paradigm, a new worldview for ourselves, right? A personal and family life based on Christian and biblical values of love, authenticity, and truth. And so that's the problem. Let's look at the solutions. The Bible gives us the direction that we need to live out the solution. And firstly, it says that we need to admit how the blessings and sins of our family, going back three or four generations, profoundly impact we are today. You see, if we keep on denying this truth, we will keep on living out the power of the past in our life today and never overcome it. And then we recognize that we've been birthed into a new family, the family of Jesus. And thirdly, we stop following the sinful patterns of our family of origin and our culture of origin and learn how to do life anew in the family of Jesus. So let's look at each one of these in a little bit more detail. Firstly, we admit how the blessings and sins of our family going back three or four generations profoundly impact who we are today. So I did some research and I found out some very interesting things. Today, our modern family averages out at 3.45 people. Two parents and 1.45 children. I just want to know, how do you determine a child is 0.45 of a child? Yeah. But you know, the authors of the Bible have a totally different understanding of the word family. Throughout the Old and New Testaments, one's family refers not only just to one couple and their one and a bit children, but to the entire extended family over three or four generations. So just to give you an example about this, right? Shirley and I are baby boomers. We were born in that 1946 to 1964 area. Our parents come from the silent generation, which occurred up to 1945. Our children are millennials, born between 1981 and 1996. And our grandchildren are Generation Alpha, born in the early 2010s till today. So there you can see, there's my family laid out. But at the same time, When we look at my family tree, and I'm not talking about Shirley's, I'm talking about my family tree, my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents were the only descendants I was able to track. But my daughter, Tamron, who loves doing this stuff, she's been able to trace back to 5 generations, showing where I come from. All right. We did this exercise because it helps us to see recurring illnesses that take place in our family tree, to see broken relationships, to see poor choices, to see the results of sinful living that have come through all the way down our family tree. And Shirley and I did this 43 years ago at our first marriage preparation course. And the more we looked at this thing, the more I began to discover and admit to some of the blessings, the brokenness, and the sins that were traceable through my family tree. And some of those included suicide. They included addictions, dealing in witchcraft, pregnancy outside of marriage, heart disease, anger, as in violent rages. And we'll just leave it there. Yeah, that's enough. Because it's in a family that the individual's brokenness from the past is most often revealed. Yeah, you've heard the saying, haven't you? You want to know how good that person is? Go and ask their spouse. Because it's in the family. And so I began to discover and to admit to some of the blessings, brokenness, and sins that were traceable through my family tree that were impacting my life. Those generational or bloodline curses that were present in our life. And I had to take action. And the first step was to admit that I needed help. I could not do it on my own. I needed to find someone who would pray with me and help me overcome these things. Today, I would suggest some of our prayer ministers, or if you don't trust our prayer ministers, we have healing rooms on Wednesday nights. Allow them to pray with you. And come to that place of breaking the hold that the past has on our present. And the second point was to recognize that we have been, born into a new family, the family of Jesus. Because the great news of the gospel is that our family or our culture of origin does not determine our future. We have been set free. Free from the power of sin. Present in our families over the generations. Now what needs to happen is our minds and our bodies need to catch up with the truth as we break the habits of the past. Because Romans chapter 8 says, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. God's very life, in the person of the Holy Spirit, now resides within us. We received a new heart, a new nature, and a new spirit, as Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel 36. And when we place our faith in Christ, we are spiritually reborn in the Holy Spirit. into the family of Jesus. And we are transferred out of darkness into the kingdom of light, says Colossians 1:13. You see, what happens when we accept Christ as our Savior? We have a radical new beginning in life, and we have become a new person. That means that anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. Do you belong to Christ?
Yes.
You are a new person.
Hallelujah.
Now, the most significant change that this meant to me was the understanding that as a new person, I was adopted into a new family, Christ's family, a complete family, a whole, as in completely whole family. And our inheritance is now freedom and hope and glory as we continue to follow Jesus. One of the things that happened, that as I began to see the church as my family, as I began to see each person in the church as my brothers and sisters who would love me and allow me to love them, they would speak correction. And they often did. They would speak correction into my life. They would challenge me to stretch my faith and my obedience to God's word. And I thought I was the only one who saw you as my brothers and sisters. And then I read this passage, and it confirmed what I'd come to wholeheartedly believe. The church is the new family of God. Through spiritual rebirth, we each become a brother or sister of Jesus Christ through adoption into the family of God. Consequently, we are brother and sister to each other. Hi, brothers and sisters. Because I truly believe that the local church, that family of believers, are true communities of brothers and sisters to each other. We each one of us may be reparented in doing life God's way and leaving behind the power of the past. As we commit to follow Jesus and grasp that continual act of dying to self. Now, the third thing that I want to share is
very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. Most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, you're there.
Stop it!
It really is that simple. It's put off or stop the sinful patterns of our family of origin and culture and learn instead how to do life in the new family of Jesus. It's a choice we make. It's a decision that we make. And it's a journey we walk through together. And it starts with our willingness to admit to recognize, to begin to understand how our past family life will have the most influence in how ready we are to stop destructive patterns in our life. And our determination to pass on these positive heritage, this positive heritage and good Christian value system to our children and grandchildren is what will encourage us to make that decision and keep to it. It will also allow God to transform our lives through the renewal of our mind so we can model that truth that God created us to be a gift to the world. That's who we are. You see, soon after I was adopted into Jesus' family, I was also accepted into a local church. And there I was encouraged to change my old self. So I wasn't so angry and arrogant. And if you want to talk to Alan, he'll tell you all the other stuff I was. Right. To apply the discipline in my life to break those old habits. It was in that loving family that I met people who helped me on the journey to overcome the power that my past held over me. And I'd shared earlier all the things that that included. And they did this firstly by praying with me, by helping me break through the power of the hold of the past. And then they helped me to discover true behavior. The true behavior of those who follow Jesus. And they kept on encouraging me to love others, serve others, and so grow in maturity. Because I firmly believed that in Christ I am a new creation. And at the same time I also realize that there is something in me that tempts me to do what I don't want to do. And when I deny that temptation and I'm dying to self, then I keep on being set free from the power of the past. And so the way to stop the sinful patterns that we discover and we learn about in our family of origin and culture is to relearn to do life God's way in our new family of Jesus. Because success comes through our intentional, our radical, and our complete surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And by filling our minds with God's word, and his transformative power in our lives, that's how we stop it. This is hard work. It takes discipline. It takes lots of self-discipline. But this is real relationship, real discipleship, real emotional health in Jesus. Wow. Amen. Amen. Sure. Let's spend a few moments just allowing God to minister to us. Father, would you bring the truth of your word to our life right now? And so come, Holy Spirit, that your anointing and your presence would bring healing and restoration. I want to encourage you that if you're here today and this word is spoken to you, that you believe that there is stuff in your past that needs to be dealt with, that right now you turn to God and you say, Lord, I know there's stuff that needs to be dealt with that comes from my past. And I surrender it. I choose to surrender it to you. I commit, Lord, to find people who can pray with me. I commit, Lord, to be radical and intentional and complete in my surrender to your work in my life. I commit, Lord, to learn how to be a brother and sister to those around me in this local church family. Because, Jesus, that's why you died. That we would be one with you, in you, together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.